I, even I, am the Lord, and beside me there is no Saviour. And then Isaiah 44:6 says, Thus saith the Lord, the King of Israel, and his Redeemer, the Lord of hosts, I am the first, and I am the last, and beside me there is no God. Now Exodus 20, the first three verses. And God spake all these words, saying, I am the Lord thy God, which have brought thee out of the land of Egypt, out of the house of bondage. Thou shalt have no other gods before me. Amen. And God will bless that short reading from his word. The Ten Commandments. When we understand them, they put some strength into the Christian. The commandments themselves reflect God's nature, what God is like. The commandments reflect God's great love towards his people and towards the world, if you like, because God seemed fit to give human beings 10 commandments, a law, to follow for their own benefit and for their own safety. But the commandments also teach us of God's justice. They reflect that. They reflect God's morality. He is a moral God. And his holiness, his purity, and his authority. Because the 10 commandments are not 10 requests, but 10 commandments. Commandments of the Creator to that which he created. Commandments of the Maker to that which he made. Because the God of the Bible, contrary to much popular opinion today, does not grovel and snivel at the feet of humanity, pleading with us to comply with his suggestions, but quite the opposite. The God of the Bible commands snivelling, grovelling humanity to obey his law for their own good, or else suffer the eternal consequences. God said all these words, the 10 words it means in the Hebrew language. What God said them? Well, the first two verses tell us. Yahweh, or the Hebrew without the vowels, is YHWH, the unpronounceable name that the Jews would not and could not pronounce. We pronounce it or translate it, Jehovah said all these words. And it means the self-existent, uncreated, absolutely independent God. That's who said these 10 words, the only true God. And the Ten Commandments, indeed God's whole law, we know from the New Testament that love is the fulfillment of the law. And also in the New Testament, Christ teaches obedience to the 10 commandments. All 10. Christ never taught disobedience, especially to the 4th commandment. He never broke it once, contrary to what many moderns say, they haven't read the passages. Christ never broke any commandment, because breaking a commandment is sin. Christ taught obedience to the 10 commandments, and obedience to God's law was always God's intention for those under the new covenant, which we are under tonight. The pattern for the Christian's holiness, you couldn't get better than the 10 commandments. That's what God wants. It reflects the very person of God. That's his morality. They're right up to date and they reflect the character of God. Now, tonight I want us to remember three short words. And the first one is pluralism. Because the first commandment contradicts pluralism. Pluralism is a mix of religious cultures. It is a view that all religious differences all contribute to the same truth. Pluralism. It's very similar to existentialism, which is the other word, where no matter what a person believes, it's all valid. All contradictory beliefs are counted as valid by an existentialist or pluralist person. And our society in the Western world is pluralistic. All religions reveal some part of the same truth. That's pluralism and existentialism. And that view is wrong, but that's what people believe in the Western world today, most people, generally speaking. Now, the first commandment contradicts pluralism and existentialism completely. And then the other third word I want you to remember is polytheism. Poly meaning many, and theos is God, many gods. There are many gods and many ways to God. Our society is also in many respects polytheistic. They believe that there's many gods, and they certainly have many gods in a different sense. But the first commandment contradicts polytheism as well. It contradicts pluralism, existentialism, and polytheism, all the things that our society is. Because it says, "Thou shalt have no other gods before me or before my face." And that's not just the testimony of the first commandment, it's the testimony of the whole scripture. The whole scripture contradicts pluralism, existentialism, and polytheism completely all the way through. I am God, and there is none else. I am the Lord, I read from Isaiah. Beside me, there is no Savior. None. Not Buddha. No one. Not Krishna. Besides me, there's no Savior. None. I am the first and the last. Besides me, there is no God. I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man comes to the Father but by me. That includes everybody. There is one God and one mediator between God and men, the man, Christ Jesus. Only one. And all these verses say the same thing. They're saying basically the same as the first commandment. That there is one God, and we are to worship Him and Him only. The first commandment does not fit very well into Western modern culture. It doesn't fit at all, in fact, in our society. It's a bit of an embarrassment, the first commandment, for those who want unity, but they don't really want to follow the Bible at the expense of truth. For those that say they're Christians, but want an all-round unity, the first commandment's really embarrassing for them. There's no other religion makes the claim that the Bible makes, or Christianity makes. No other gods but our one. That's it. None. It's a very embarrassing contradiction for those who dream that all religions reveal a portion of the same truth. Nonsense. There is no other religion, there's no other gods. There's just two religions really in the world. There's Christianity, and every single other religion is paganism. If you want to read a book on that, you read Peter Jones from Westminster Theological Seminary. He did his PhD, and it's all published. There's only two religions, true Christianity, biblical Christianity, and everything else is paganism, including ceremonial Christianity, or the excuse for Christianity in traditional ism that doesn't believe the truth. That's paganism as well. Peter Jones will be here in July. But anyway, the first commandment doesn't fit into our society. Because our society is pluralistic and polytheistic, and our society is largely pagan. But I want to tell you a few things about the first commandment. And the first point is this. Number one, God is the only object of worship. Thou shalt have no other gods before me. The God of the Bible is the only object of worship. Now, God's people, the Israelites in the Old Testament, at this time, in their culture and their context, they were surrounded by nations that were all polytheistic. Lots of gods. Many gods in many ways. All the other nations completely surrounding Israel. Egypt, to the south, worshipped the sun and the moon and the river Nile. And then the Canaanites worshipped Baal and Ashtaroth and Molech, to whom they burned their children. And on it goes. They all had their little tin pot gods, all polytheistic gods they made up, made of wood and stone, gold and silver. Isaiah ridicules, and so does Jeremiah, these type of polytheistic gods. They make up these images of their false gods. And they wash their images. And they dressed their god. And they put their god on a cart and carried him to their temple. And there they carried him out of the temple again when they were finished. And on it goes. False gods. Polytheism. Polytheism then, polytheism now. There's nothing new under the sun. Modern man is just as polytheistic as they were in Egypt or in Canaan. And that's why God puts the first commandment first. You shall have no other gods before me. And to break that law is sin. The Bible's God is the object of worship and him only. That's Matthew Henry on the first commandment. No other gods. The Hebrew word is Elohim. You know what that means? Any object of worship. It's the lowest Hebrew word for God. It refers to many false gods. Even it refers to many things. Any object of worship, Elohim. No other Elohim. No other objects of worship before me, says God. And that means over against or placed in my sight. Over against means against God's authority or in God's sight. And of course, God's sight. Where does God's sight reach? Absolutely everywhere. The whole universe and all time. And God says, you will not have any other object of worship in my sight. That's the first commandment. And if you do, it's against me. So Spurgeon, therefore, he says, there is but one God, and we must not dare to worship or obey another. Beware of making gold or yourself or your dearest relation into a god. Another man, Cole, the commentator, he will not share his worship with another because he, the real God, is unique. So the meaning is obvious. The commandment means what it says. It means what the first point of the message is. There's only one God, and we're to worship him. Second point. The first commandment teaches us we have to put God first. Because if we ever put anything in the place of God, if we ever put anything over against God, in God's place, any other object, then we break the first commandment. And there are many things when you take the commandment in this way, like it's taken in the New Testament. Covetousness is idolatry. You're meant to take the first commandment in a broader sense than pure heathen, ancient paganism bowing down to idols and worshipping false gods. No, covetousness is breaking this commandment. Matthew Henry says, pride makes a god of self. Covetousness makes a god of money, because that's the big thing in the person's life. Sensuality makes a god of desires. Whatever is esteemed or loved, feared or served, delighted in or depended on more than God, that, whatever it is, we have made a god. If anything comes before God, we've broke the first commandment. That's what Matthew Henry says, and I want to give you from the Catechism, and I haven't learned these questions, so I'm going to read them to you. This is way up in the question 46 and 47. Samuel has overtaken me, by the way, in learning these. He's better than it than me. We're both in number 13, and he's on number 14. Further, I'm not. Anyway, the Catechism, question 46, what is required in the first commandment? The first commandment requires us to know and acknowledge God to be the only true God and our God, and to worship and glorify Him accordingly. Then question 47. What is forbidden in the first commandment? The first commandment forbiddeth the denying or not worshipping and glorifying the true God as God and our God, and the giving of that worship and glory to any other which is due to Him alone. So if we neglect to worship the true God, then we broke it. So the majority of our nation, and we've all broke it, because there was a time when we neglected to worship Him before we were saved. Or if we deliberately have something else in His place. So it's both the conscious putting something else in His place, or just neglecting to worship Him, either breaks the first commandment. Whatever we love, whatever we serve, whatever we depend on more than God is our Elohim. It's our object of worship. It's the big thing in our life. If something comes first in our life, say pride, which is we've made a god of self then, or covetousness, we've made it a god of money. Or sensuality, we've made a god of our own desires. Now when you take the commandment in this way, like the New Testament takes it, when it says that every covetous person is an idolater, well, when you take the commandment this way, then look at the people of Northern Ireland. Well, this used to be the land of the Bible. It really saddens me to see the state of Northern Ireland. It wasn't so long ago when many things were different. I can even remember things being different, and I'm not that old. What do people live for now? What comes first in their life? What's their priority? What's number one? Is it Jehovah? No. Most people, sadly to say, it's not. For most people in our country, self comes first. They have made themselves their God. Or money, finance comes first. Material goods. Or their desires. They just want to do what they want and come to worship God when it suits them. But self is on their throne. God is not central. He's not first. And whatever that is, those things that are so dominant in our culture, they are gods. They are people's little gods. It's their God. It's number one in their lives. And God says, you shall not have any other gods before me. It's a commandment. And none of us are innocent at this point. We cannot say that we have never had an ambition that doesn't jockey for first place in our lives. Or we've never had an interest or a love or a lust or pride or some kind of selfishness that doesn't sometimes even still try and jockey for first place in our lives. And the first commandment is first, because that is the most consistently broken. The rich young ruler, he broke the first commandment. Remember, he came to Jesus. What must I do to inherit eternal life? And the Lord said, keep the commandments. He meant keep them perfectly, of course. Well, I've done that from my youth up. Have you? Well then, go sell everything you have and give it to the poor and come and follow me. He didn't do it. Why not? Because what was number one in his life? It wasn't Christ. He kept his money. His money was his God. He fell down at the first commandment. That's why Jesus said to do that. To prove to him he hadn't even kept the first, never named the other name. We must put God first. And that's why Jesus said the first and greatest commandment is to love the Lord your God with all your heart and all your mind and all your soul and all your strength. That's the first and greatest commandment. And it means we must love God first and above all. And anything less than that is a breach of this greatest of laws. And how do we love God with all our heart? How do we put him first? By obeying him. By obeying him. If you love me, you'll keep my commandments. By obeying him. We don't put God first by disobeying him. But obeying him. And when God says, husbands, love your wives. By putting God first, we love our wives. And when God says, fathers, raise your children in the fear and admonition of the Lord, how do we put God first in that? It's not by some mystical thing saying, I'm going to neglect my family duty and just love God. No, you put God first and you show you love God by obeying him and raising your children in the fear and admonition of the Lord. That's love. It's agape. Actions. C.T. Studd said he loved the Lord. He did love the Lord. He made mistakes. We all make mistakes, but he did. He neglected his family. He left his wife 6 months out of every year, and he said that was putting God first. He thought he was the exception to the New Testament verses that tell him to dwell with your wives. Men, husbands, dwell with your wives. It's not putting God first in some mystical way. It's putting God first, showing we love God most of all by obeying God in what he says for us to do. So how do you love God number one in your life? You love God number one if you're married by loving your spouse and your children. That's how you do it. It's a practical thing. No one can say we've ever kept even the first commandment perfectly. No one. Only the Lord Jesus. The Ten Commandments, when you look at them from a distance, are just 10 words. They look, oh, I can do that. No other gods. You take them superficially. No idols. Don't do that. I don't make bow down to statues. Take them superficially. But when you come close and see what they mean, and then see them repeated and interpreted in the New Testament, and you see, really, instead of a pinpoint like a star, when you get close to it, it's massive. It's so hard to keep. It's comprehensive. And we cannot keep God's commandments perfectly. But of course, God's commandments were not meant for us to keep perfectly. God knew we would never keep them perfectly. And that's why he says in the New Testament, they were given to us for the purpose of being our schoolmaster. To bring us to Christ. Someone who chastises us to show us we're doing wrong. Therefore shows us that we need the Lord Jesus. When we say we sin, we break his law. By the law comes the knowledge of sin. And that's why the law was given. So the first commandment teaches God is the only object of worship. And secondly, we must put God first. And thirdly, what does the first commandment teach us about God himself? Well, the first thing it teaches is God is unique. I am the first and the last. Apart from me, there is no God. None. The world may believe that all gods and all religions are authentic, but the Christian can't believe that and believe the Bible. It's one or the other. And if the Christian doesn't believe the Bible when it says, when Jehovah says, I am God and there's none else. None else. If the Christian doesn't believe that, then the person's not a Christian. To imagine that when Jesus Christ said, you're to love the Lord your God with all your heart and mind and soul and strength. When Jesus said that, to think that he would have been prepared to tolerate a definition of God that included Allah, or a Hindu definition of there are over a million gods, or the New Age understanding. Do you think that the Lord would accept a definition like that? Ridiculous. Yet some modern theologians say he would. Did the Lord Jesus, who said, anyone who has seen me has seen the Father, did he really believe that Muhammad would be a viable alternative and get people to heaven anyway? Did he really believe that Krishna or Buddha would be viable alternatives? No. The God of the Bible is unique. He contradicts all other religions. He's not only unique, he's exclusive. The first commandment teaches us that God is exclusive. He never accepted any of the gods of the nations around his people. Not even once. In fact, you read the prophets and you read Isaiah and the Old Testament, you see the prophets inspired by God, and God himself mocked the other gods and their religions. He made fun of them. He never accepted them. He looked on these other gods as an abomination. However, just because our God is unique and does not tolerate false gods, completely intolerant of false gods, but yet that doesn't mean that in the New Testament we are to go around and be violent towards those of other religions. Because the New Testament teaches, and I'm quoting now from Brian Edwards, who's coming, remember that conference. The New Testament teaches a peaceful demolition of the falsehood of other religions by the power of the gospel. That's the teaching of the New Testament. Christians are to live peacefully with their religious and irreligious neighbours while maintaining a unique, exclusive gospel. Exclusive means it excludes certain people. The gospel excludes certain people. There's those that are saved and there's those that are not, and they're excluded. It was Rome, with all her pluralism, that would not tolerate the Christians. Rome, with all her gods, all her existentialism and pluralism and polytheism, it's mushing together. It was Rome that couldn't tolerate the Christians. Not vice versa. It wasn't the Christians couldn't tolerate Rome. It was Rome couldn't tolerate the Christians. And we find that it's exactly the same today. Nothing is more intolerant of people with convictions than a pluralistic society. If you want to say your gospel's right, you will not be tolerant. Even though tolerance is their byword. They're the most intolerant people in the world are those who are pluralistic. All religions teach the same truth, do they? Do they? All man-made religions are similar, because in all man-made religions, man saves himself by something he does, by a good work or an evil work. But biblical Christianity is different in every area. Polytheism is foolish and it's a lie. There are not many gods. There are not many ways. All religions don't teach the same truth. There's one God, one way, one truth. And the truth is Jesus Christ. And if you do not believe that truth, if any are not on that way, they will die. They will all perish who are not in Christ. So the first commandment teaches that God is the only object of worship. It teaches we must put God first. And it teaches God is unique and He's exclusive and He's intolerant of any other gods. God said to His people, I am your God, verse 2. I brought you out of Egypt. I brought you out of the house of bondage. Don't have any other gods before me. In the New Testament, the church is Israel, isn't it? He says to you and me, I am your God. I brought you out of Egypt, the world, out of the house of bondage. Hasn't He brought us out of the world? Hasn't He brought us out of bondage? What are we in bondage to? Slaves to sin before we saved. He set us free. He brought us out of the house of bondage. And He's our God. Therefore, thou shalt have no other gods before me. Have you kept this commandment perfectly? Neither have I. But as long as we're not happy about not keeping it perfectly, as long as we're sorry for it and confess it to the Lord, we're forgiven. The law of God was our schoolmaster to bring us to Christ. So therefore we should love this law, shouldn't we? We should love it with all our hearts. And just as I close, I want to give you a short quote from Thomas Watson, the Puritan, in his book on the Ten Commandments. Just to sum it up, okay? Thou shalt have no other gods before me. This may well lead the van and be set in the front of all the commandments, because it is the foundation of all true religion. The sum of this commandment is that we should sanctify God in our own hearts and give Him a precedence above all created beings. Number one, put Him first. Amen and thank you.